The Sequoia Birthplace Museum in Vonore is the only tribally owned museum in Tennessee. On Saturday and Sunday, the museum, along Tellico Lake in the Great Smoky Mountains, will host its 30th annual Cherokee Fall Festival. Charlie Rodarmer is manager and director of the museum, owned and operated by the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Nation. Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you having me here.
Tell us more about the festival.
It's the Cherokee Fall Festival at Sequoia Birthplace Museum, and this is our 30th year, and it's also the bicentennial of Sequoia finishing the syllabary. The Cherokee, up until this point, had a spoken language, but they had no way to write anything down, no numbering system. And Sequoia actually developed a numbering system in his blacksmith shop to use as an accounting system to keep records of who owed him what for the work that he did. And then it was in 1809, in his blacksmith shop, he announced to a group of Cherokees, hey, we could create a writing system. And so he began in 1809 and spent 12 years trying to create a writing system, which he finally finished in 1821 with a syllabary. So it's not an alphabet, it's a syllabary. It's the sounds of the language have symbols.
And to the extent that the Cherokee language survives to this day is because of that.
Majority of Cherokees that speak, some don't read still today, but there are a number of folks that are speakers and readers. One of the concerns is that a lot of those folks are getting up in age, and also because of our times, a lot of those speakers, we're losing them.
And how will the festival proceed this year, given these milestones and also given the pandemic that we're still living with?
We're owned and operated by the Eastern Band of the Cherokee, and so we follow their mandates to what the tribe does. And so we've implemented wearing masks in the building, social distancing, hand sanitizer, you know, at the doors. So that'll be maintained through the festival. We just had a balloon festival this past weekend, and there was a few people that didn't like the mask, but, you know, that was the policy of the Eastern Band. So, and then outside is just socially distancing, and once again, sanitizer and things like that will be available.
For people who are not familiar with the museum, tell us more about that.
Sequoia Birthplace Museum was created as a result of the Tellico Lake. When TVA started building the lake, and then the environmentalists found the snail darter and said, oh, you can't build this lake because it'll cause the snail darter to go extinct. Well, the environmentalists were protesting, but so were the Cherokee. And a lot of the national media, they focused on the snail darter and not the Cherokee. And when I think it was Jimmy Carter finally signed a bill into law that said, you'll ignore all federal laws, you'll finish the dam, close the floodgates. And when they realized that the environmentalists had lost, the Cherokees realized there was no way of stopping it. And so they went to the Tennessee Valley Authority and said, how will you commemorate and remember the Cherokee people that lived here in the Cherokee Overhill? And so the Sequoia Birthplace Museum, as a result of that, we have a memorial mound, which one of the first ideas for them to commemorate was to return the remains of the Cherokee that could be identified as 18th century Cherokee. And 192 were returned back to the Eastern Band and reburied, and there's a memorial mound there on our grounds. And that actually set the precedent for what was going to happen in the 1990s with NAGPRA, which is the Native American Repatriation Act that gives the right to all federally recognized tribes and nations the right to go get their ancestors, religious artifacts, burial items back from government institutions, museums, universities. And so that kind of is a result of something that happened there in the Cherokee Overhill.
How long have you been involved with the museum?
I volunteered a couple of times back in the 90s, but I came to Sequoia in 2000 and never left. It's a nice place to be.
How have you seen things change with the museum and its presence here in East Tennessee in that time?
When I got there back in the 90s and up until about 2000, the museum was struggling to stay open. And that's one of the things a couple of granting institutions says, we need to see that it's sustainable. And I'm like, look, this place has been sustainable. The only thing that's finally shut us down was 2 months last year because of the COVID. The board members back in the 90s and the 80s, they were able to do what needed to be done to keep the doors open. Fundraisers, some of them went in and kept it open. And so the museum's never actually closed due to finances. But back in 2000, it was counting every penny. And as time has gone by, we've done more programs and found more grant resources and income resources for the museum. And so we're doing much, much better now. So we were able to renovate the museum starting, I guess, about 4 years ago and got reopened about 3 years ago. So it's a brand new exhibit focused on Sequoia and what he did and his great accomplishment.
These are all signs of a greater appreciation and interest in the Cherokee story and how that story is a thread that weaves through the history of this region.
True. One of the things you'll hear is, I hear a lot is my Cherokee grandmother, great-grandmother. And typically, I think that goes back to one of the things is the removal, because if you were a Cherokee married to a white man, you stayed. If you were a white woman married to a Cherokee man, you went, you were removed. And so I think that's where everybody gets their great-grandmother was Cherokee. It's actually probably a great-great-great-grandmother.
What are some of the things that the festival will offer this time around?
Due to the current situation, we've had a couple of our educators and entertainers that we've lost. And so we've actually talked with several of the others. We have the Warriors of Anangadua. They're the ambassadors of the Eastern Band. They will be dancing and performing different Cherokee dances. And then several of them will be set up and we'll have a living history timeline of people talking about pre-contact Cherokee or the 18th century and the 19th century. And so we'll have a number of people, a number of the Cherokees will actually be talking about and demonstrating basketry and pottery, finger weaving, carving. And so you'll be able to actually talk and ask questions and interact. As you kind of park and you come in, that's the first line you see is kind of some summer houses with the Cherokee demonstrating and talking to folks about their culture and their history. And then the festival area, we've got most all of our vendors are coming. I think we have about 26, I think, somewhere in there. And so they focus on arts and crafts, some Cherokee vendors. So there's a number of different things. We've had knife makers in the past. I'm not sure if he's coming back. And so we have Nikki's Fry Bread. She's Cherokee. And if you haven't had an Indian taco, that's something you need to experience.
And there's also going to be a reenactment.
The Eastern Band of the Cherokee joined the Confederate Army. And Will Thomas, who had actually been down outside of Cherokee, the area of Cherokee, and when he got back and found out that they had pledged to join the Confederate Army, and the Confederacy said, well, we're going to send you down the coast of South Carolina, and you'll be patrolling down there. And it's like Thomas then went to the Confederate powers that be and said, these people are mountain people. They know nothing of swamps. And so he ended up starting what was called the Thomas's Legion. And a legion has infantry, cavalry, and artillery. And so there were probably, around 400 Cherokee that served four companies in Thomas's Legion. As I mentioned, they were raised there in North Carolina. They actually spent the majority of the war here in Tennessee. Their first battle was up at Baptist Gap, just a gap over from Cumberland. Then their last battle here in late in the war was a running battle from Sevierville to Gatlinburg. And then they finally retreated back over in the mountains towards western North Carolina and stayed. There was actually a battle probably 3 miles from the museum called Motley Ford, which was originally the Motley town. And as the locals kind of shortened it to Motley. And there was a battle that took place there, and a number of the Cherokee were killed. A few of the Cherokees were killed there at that battle. And so we reenact that. And so we have some Confederate reenactors and people talking about Thomas's Legion. And then we also have a Union, which we have artillery, some cavalry, and infantry. And we'll be doing demonstrations about tactics, marching, and drilling.
For people who want more information, where can they go online?
You can go to our Facebook page, Sequoia Birthplace Museum, where we keep most everything rapidly posted there. And then you can visit our internet site, just Google Sequoia Birthplace Museum, and we get our information up there as well. And you can also call the museum. It's 423-884-6246.
All right. Charlie, thanks so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.